知音服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年1月11号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的萨利亚·德瓦塔布为我们讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好。
Welcome to our Saturday morning sangha. In this case.Reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
欢迎大家来参加我们星期六早上的Sangha。然后在我们这个情况来看，那就是星期六早上的瓦坛的早课啦。
So I'd like to chant Jaya Radha Madhava, and then we'll begin the class, reading from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后所以我先跟大家一起来唱 Jaya Radha Madhava, 然后我们就开始上课，一起来学习圣典博加瓦坛的第六篇。
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanadari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivanadari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Nitai Gopinanda, Hare Hare Bol. So we are reading from the sixth canto, chapter 3. Which is titled the Yamaraj instructs his messengers.
所以我们今天一起来看的是圣典博加瓦坛第六篇的第三章。这章节的标题是阎罗王吩咐他的使者。
Yeah, and I think today we are on text 6.
我想今天应该我们是来讲第六诗节。
So currently in the story, the Yamadutas have returned to.The abode of Yamaraj.
然后故事进展到目前是 Yamaduta 已经回到了阎罗王的住所。
And they're in the palace of Yamaraj, standing before him and they're questioning him.
Yamaduta 们就身处在阎罗王的宫殿里，然后站在他的面前在质问他。
And they're still upset about not being able to.Fulfill their mission to bring Ajamil to hell.
并且他们非常的还是感到非常的生气，然后因为自己没有能够完成任务，把阿加米勒带到地狱星球去。
And they're very surprised that they were stopped by the Vishnu Dutas, and now they're wondering, is Yamaraj the supreme authority or not?
嗯，然后他们感到非常的惊讶，就是竟然被 Vishnu Dutta 给阻止了，因此他们现在就在问阎罗王到底他是不是至尊的主人。
And they're also concerned about the universal law, wondering who's really in charge.
嗯，并且他们也非常在意这个宇宙的法律，就是在想到底谁才是处于这个负责这个负责的位置的。
In fact, last week, one of the questions to Yamaraj was, is there one judge? Is there one supreme authority when it comes to universal law, or are there many judges?
嗯，实际上在上一个星期的课程中，我们当时就谈到了这些 这些 Yamadutta 们，他们当时提出了一个问题，就是是不是这个宇宙中有一位至尊的法官，还是说这宇宙中有许许多多的法官呢？
So if there's a law and one judge supports the law and another judge doesn't, then what's the purpose of the law?
嗯，而如果就一项法律条款来说，如果是有，假如说有许多的这个法官，其中一位是支持这个法律的，而另一些是反对这个法律的，那么这个制定这个法律的条款又有任何的意义所在吗？
嗯。So they're wondering, who's really in charge? Is Yamaraj the supreme authority? And, what is the real universal law? What are they supposed to follow now?
嗯，因此他们就想知道到底谁才是至尊的权威，谁才是这个至尊的法官，然后是不是有这个真正的宇宙法律的存在，从而他们能够得以去遵循这个宇宙法律。
So we'll read text 6 that has a short purport, and then some of the verses don't have purports or very short purports, so we may read a few verses today.
嗯，哦，所以我们就一起来看第六师节，然后第六师节的要旨是比较短的，而由于有些师节都没有这个要旨，所以我们今天可能会来一起学习好几个师节。
And I think we answered all the questions from last week, correct?
Yes. 嗯。
Okay. 嗯。All right, text 6.
来，第六师节。
I'll sing the Sanskrit, then we'll do the word for word, translation, and short purport.
嗯，所以我来念一下这个梵文的师节，然后就是译文要旨。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Kintu Shastrir Bahut Vedshad Bahunamiha Karmani Karminam Sashvitam Shashvitvam Upacharohi Yatamandala Vartinam Kintu
但是
Shastri
管理者或审判官的
Bahutve
多数的
Shat
也许有
Bahunam
许多的
Iha
在这个世界里
Karminam
活动者
Shastritvam
各个部门的管理
Upachara
行政
He
事实上
Yata
正如
Mandala Vartinam
地方管理者的
Translation The Yamadutas continued Since there are many different karmis or workers there may be different judges or rulers to give them justice But just as one central emperor controls different department rulersThere must be one supreme controller to guide all the judges.
译文，阎罗王的命令执行官继续说，既然世上有那么多种功利性活动者， 活动者就可能有许多类型的法官或管理者要审判他们的活动，但正如有一个帝王坐镇中央控制各个地方的管理者，那么世上必有一个至高无上的控制者指导着所有的法官。Continue with purport.
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay. 要指政府管理机构中有许多不同部门的官员对不同的人士做出判决，但必须遵循同样的法律，那核心法律必须对每一个人都有同样的控制作用。阎罗王的命令执行官无法想象对同一个案子竟然给出两种不同的裁决，因此想要知道究竟谁才是主要的法官。阎罗王的命令执行官确信阿加米勒是罪大恶极的，但尽管阎罗王要惩罚他，可 Vishnu 的使者们却原谅了他，所以阎罗王的命令执行官们想要阎罗王澄清这种令人困惑的情况。 End of report.
Thank you. Om Aganata Mirandasha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmain Shri Gurave NamahNamo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakapa Durubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyascha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. So, Yamadutas are still questioning Yamaraj here.
所以在这个时节中，阎罗王的命令执行官们 Yamaduta 们仍然还在质问阎罗王。
They're admitting that in the government or even the universal government, there may be different courts of law and different judges.
他们在承认，那么在政府中，然后即使是在宇宙的政府中，也有许许多多的不同的这个法律部门和管理这个机构。
I'm not sure what it's like in China, but I know that the judicial system here, there are different types of courts, different types of judges, depending on the different type of crime that has been committed.
我不知道中国的具体情况是怎样的，但是在这里，在美国的话呢，却是针对有不同类型的犯罪事件，那么就有不同类型的这个律师以及不同类型的法庭。
So we have, we have a court, a traffic court.
所以说有专门这个针对交通事件、交通案件的法庭。
Right, if you get a parking ticket or you get a speeding ticket.Or a moving violation, you go to the traffic court.
所以如果一个人要是比如说乱停乱放他的汽车或者是超速的话，就会被开罚单，然后就必须要去到这个交通部门的法庭去接受这个裁决。
And then they have what we call white collar crimes.
然后还有这个就是白领案件的法庭。
You know that word?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah, so, crimes, you're not injuring anyone personally, but there's, fraud or something within business.
所以说白领案件的话呢，就是指并不是这种身体上的伤害这种犯罪刑事案件，而是指这种在公司企业里所犯下的比如说诈骗等等。
Yeah, and there's also divorce court, or family law.
当然还有这个离婚法律了，那就是这个针对家庭的法律。
And then of course there's courts for serious crimes where people are killed or injured or somehow harmed.
当然还有就是专门针对严重刑法案件的这个法庭了，就比如说受害者受到了伤害，受到了甚至被谋杀等等。
Well, so all of these courts have judges, and they're supposed to enforce the law.
而所有的这些法庭都分别配有这个法官，那么法官们就需要去执行法律。
So you can see here how the Yamadutas, they want some clarification.
所以大家可以看到在这里 Yamadut 他们就真的希望能够澄清他们内心的疑惑。
They admit that there may be different judges and different types of courts of law.
他们承认确实法律当中的话呢会有不同类型的法庭，不同类型的法律。
But they are saying there must be some, you know, ultimate judge that judges the judges.
但他们同时也说那既然有这些许许多多不同的这些法庭和律师不是法庭和法官，那么这些审判官，那么但最终的话也必须要有一位至尊的审判官，然后来评判来判断所有的这些法官才是。
And the Yamadutas, they were under the impression that Yamaraj was the ultimate judge in the material world.
而 Yamaduta 们他们有这样的一种印象，他们知道阎罗王就是物质世界当中的至高至上的 法官。
And the Yamadutas, they were just simply following the order of Yamaraj to go arrest Ajamil and bring him to hell for punishment.
然后并且 Yamaduta 们他们也只是在遵循阎罗王的训这个命令去逮捕阿加米勒，把他抓到地狱星球去。
Yeah, so they were acting on the authority of Yamaraj.
因此他们都是这个根据阎罗王的权威然后来办事儿的。
Yet the Vishnu Dutas were able to stop them.
然而 Vishnu Duta 却还是阻止了他们。
So this is very confusing for the Yamadutas.
因此这就让亚玛都他们感到非常的困惑不已了。
So that means that if the Vishnu Dutas were able to stop them, then the Vishnu Dutas are a higher authority than even Yamaraj.
那么这就意味着如果 Vishnu Dutas 都能够阻挡他们的话，那么 Vishnu Dutas 们甚至都代表了比阎罗王 还是更高的权威。
But they also have another concern.
但同时他们还有另外一个很在意很关注的地方。
That, you know, most, you know, everyone so far that they've arrested, they were able to bring to hell, and they were, these criminals were justifiably punished.
因为他们所在意的另一个地方，另一个点，那就是到目前为止他们所逮捕的每一个这个受物质世界制约的个体灵魂，那么都是犯下过这些各种各样的罪行，各种各样的罪，因此他们都是合理公正的被带到这个地狱去接受审判，接受惩罚的。
And from the Yamadutas perspective, Ajamil was just another criminal.
而从 Yamaduta 的这个视角来看， Yamaduta 就只不过是另一个罪犯而已。
Right, he was a drunkard.
然后他曾经是一个酒鬼。
He was an adulterer.
然后甚至是一个这个就是背叛妻子然后的人。
Right, he left his legal wife for a prostitute.
他离开了他合法的妻子去和一个妓女在一起。
That's very damaging, you know, not only to, for the wife and the children, but for everyone.
而这样的行径对于妻子和孩子不仅造成极大的伤害，并且对所有人都会造成伤害。
So most of his life, Ajamil had acted in many sinful ways, yet the Vishnu Dutas excused him.
因此阿加米勒整个一生的话可以说是犯下了许许多多罪行的，但是的话 Vishnu Dutas 却依然原谅了他。
So we have to try and understand the Yamadutas.A point of view right now.
因此我们应该试着去理解一下亚玛都塔他们现在所抱有的这种观点，他们的视角是怎样的。
Okay, so let's go on to verse 7, and verse 7 doesn't have a purport, so we'll read to verse 8. There's a short purport.
好，我们现在再来一起看一下第七师节。第七师节没有要旨，所以说我们接着就来再看一下有一个比较短的要旨的第八师节。
So, text 7.
好，第七师节。
Atastvam eko bhutanam sveshwaranam adishwara sashtra dandadaro ninam subha subha vichechana Atta
像这样
Tvam
你
Eka
一个
Bhutanam
所有生物的
Sa Ishwaranam
包括全体半神人
Adishwara
至高的主人
Sasta
最高的统治者
Danda Dwara
负责惩罚的最高管理者
Nuinam
人类社会的
Subha Asubha Vichechana
区分何为吉祥何为不吉祥的
Translation The Supreme Judge must be one, not many. It was our understanding that you are that Supreme Judge and that you have jurisdiction over all the demigods. Our impression was that you are the master of all living entities, the Supreme Authority who discriminates between the pious and impious activitiesOf all human beings.
译文，至高无上的法官必须是一位，而不是很多位。据我们的了解，您就是那位最高的法官，您的审判权甚至凌驾于半神人之上。在我们的印象中，您是众生的主人，是负责辨别人类中的每一个人从事活动虔诚与否的最高权威。
So I just want to make a short comment before we go on to the next verse.
所以我就在这里做一个简短的评论，然后再来说第八师节。
So we, at the end of the text in the Sanskrit, we have this word, shubha.
在这个师节的最后一排，大家可以看到有个那个梵文词叫 shubha.
So shubha means auspicious.
Shubha 的意思就是指吉祥。
That which is, you know, good for you and good for everyone.
吉祥的意思就是说对你有益，并且对所有人都有益的事物。
And so it leads to going up instead of down.
因此这些良好的事物就会使得你上升而不是堕落。
And then, of course, the opposite of shubha is ashubha. You put an A there and it becomes just the opposite.
当然所以说 Shubha 这个吉祥的事物的话呢，它的对立面 Ashubha 也就是指不吉祥的这些东西。
And so this auspicious or you could say pious or impious.
因此我们可以把这两个词也理解为是虔诚的和不虔诚的意思。
So it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion.Rupa Goswami writes that devotional service is shubha or all auspicious.
而在《奉爱的甘露》一本书当中 ，Rupa Goswami 就写到，奉爱服务就是 shubha， 奉爱服务就是最最吉祥的、完全吉祥的意思。
And so, is when one takes the devotional service, specifically chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.Then immediately, even before one becomes advanced in devotional service, one's life becomes auspicious.
那么当一个人开始进行奉爱服务，特别是开始去念诵、吟诵 Hare Krishna Mahamantra， 那么即便在这个人在灵性生活中得以进步之前，他的人生、他的生活都变得是最为吉祥的了。
Yes. So the bhakti is compared to a seed that sprouts.
Bhakti, 奉爱就被比喻作是一颗即将发芽的种子。
And all seeds, you know, they They have a hard little shell.
Hard.
They have a little hard shell around them, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. 而所有的种子都有一个这个硬硬的外壳包裹住它们，对吧？
And if you put a little water on them, then the shell softens up.
而如果我们在种子上浇水，那么这个坚硬的外壳就会变软一点。
And two little sprouts appear.
然后此时的话呢，浇了水以后，坚硬的种子就会破出，然后破出它的外壳，长出两颗小小的这个苗。
Actually, not two little sprouts. I'm sorry. There's one sprout with two little leaves.
对，应该是这样说的，就是长出一颗苗，然后苗上的话有两半小小叶子。
And actually, all seeds, you know, when they sprout, there's just one little shaft with two little leaves. They almost all look the same at that point.
实际上所有的种子的话，在发芽的时候，那都是就是以一根这个长出来，然后同时有两根这个两片小叶子，所以它们所有的种子最开始的就长相都是一模一样的。
So this is the seed of pure bhakti.
而在这里我们谈到的就是纯粹的奉爱，纯粹的 bhakti 的种子。
Which is coming to us through Lord Chaitanya and through our spiritual master.
而这是通过主 Chaitanya, 通过我们的灵性导师而到来的。
So when the seed sprouts, there's a little shaft that comes up with two little leaves.
而当一个这个种子发芽的时候，就有一个这个树苗长出来，然后上面有两片小叶子。
And so the first leaf that unfolds, you see little leaves, they're kind of folded up and then they roll out, right, as they unfold.
而当我们看到就是在这个种子刚刚发芽的时候，它这个叶子是最开始是卷起来的，然后慢慢的随着这个生长，它就叶子就舒展开来了。
So the first leaf that unfolds is called Kleshagni.
Sorry, Gumaraj, what's the word?
Kleshagni.
Oh, Kleshagni. 所以说第一片长出来的奉爱小树苗的这个叶子的话，叫做 Kleshagni.
Yeah, so Klesha means suffering, the fire of suffering.
而 Klesha 这个梵文词的意思就是指痛苦的火焰，受苦的火焰的意思。
Yeah, so our experience in the material world, practically from birth to death, is one of mental and physical suffering.
可以说我们在物质世界的体验和经历，从出生到死亡，基本上就是这种在心理层面的以及在身体层面上的种种的苦难。种种的痛苦。
And everyone feels dissatisfied within.
每个人的内心都感到不满足。
That's a kind of pain, right?
而实际上不满足、不满意是一种痛苦，对吧？
Even when you're sitting around, you can watch young children.
You can watch what?
When you're just sitting around and there's nothing to do, especially young children,They immediately say, I'm bored.
而如果你只是坐在那儿无事可干的时候，可能对于这种小孩子来说都会觉得非常的无聊。
Well, how does boredom feel?
而这种无聊感带给我们什么样的感觉呢？
It's actually painful.
无聊感实际上就是一种令人痛苦的感觉。
Right. Give me some stimulation. I'm bored.
给我一些刺激吧，我感到好无聊乏味啊。
Give me that iPhone, you know, give me that iPhone.
把你手上的手机给我。
If I don't have the iPhone, I'm going to go crazy.
要是我连手机都没有的话，我肯定要发疯了。
That's actually suffering.
而这实际上就是一种受苦啊。
And as soon as we're not distracted, that pain comes.
一旦要是我们没有分神没有分心的话，那么这种痛苦立刻就来临了。
Yeah, and so then we try and satisfy that pain.
然后我们就试图去满足这种痛苦。
Right? So we look at our iPhone or we look at WeChat.
于是就去看手机，看微信。
Yeah. And now young children, they become addicted, you know, to their device practically from the moment they get it.
基本上现代社会的小孩子的话，从他们一接触到手机，一接触到电子设备开始，就完全就上瘾了。
And so the actions that we do in order to relieve the pain increases our addiction and increases the pain.
因此我们去做出种种的活动，想要来缓解我们的这些疼痛，缓解我们的这些痛苦，实际上反而还加深了我们对于这些活动的上瘾，以及加剧了我们的痛苦。
Yes, the more unaware we are, the more unaware we are of our true self and our relationship with Krishna, the more we suffer, the more we feel this inner dissatisfaction.
我们越是没有去觉知到真正的自我，没有去觉知到和 Krishna 之间永恒的连接，永恒的关系，那么我们就越是会受苦，越是会感受到内心这种巨大的不满足，不满意的感觉。
So this is called Kleshagni, or the fire of suffering.
因此这就被称为 Klesha Agni, 也就是指痛苦的火焰的意思。
Or in the prayers to the spiritual master, it's called the cycle of birth and death, samsara dava.
Dava. 而在我们献给灵性导师的导文当中，这就被称为那个 samsara dava, 也就是生死循环、生死轮回的意思。
Yes, the fire of birth and death.
也就是出生于死亡的火焰。
Yeah, so this fire, nothing can put it out. It's kind of like the fire that's going on in Australia.
而这种火焰的话呢，是没法被熄灭的，就有点像现在正在澳洲熊熊燃烧的森林大火一样。
There's only one thing that can put it out, and that's, you know, rain from the sky, rain from the heaven.
而只有唯一一个东西能够真正的扑灭这样的大火，那就是来自于上天的雨水。
So pure devotional service, when one begins pure devotional service, the first leaf that unfolds is for freedom from this suffering.
因此当一个人开始纯粹的奉爱服务的时候，那么他这个第一片展开的这个小叶子，那就是从这种苦难，从痛苦当中解脱出来的自由。
Yeah, so the inner dissatisfaction is relieved, which is also the cause of us performing activities that causes more suffering.
而当我们去进行纯粹的奉爱服务的时候，那么内心的不满足的感觉就会得到极大的缓解，极大的减少。那么此时这就会使得我们不再去做那些反而导致我们受苦的种种活动和行动了。
Right, Ajamil, he had a nice wife.
阿加米勒，我们都知道他有一个很好的妻子。
But he wasn't satisfied with her.
但是他还是对自己的妻子感到不满意。
So this drove him to become sinful and reject his wife and run after a prostitute.
而这种不满足的感觉就驱使着阿加米勒去进行罪恶活动，拒绝了他的美好的妻子，反而去追逐一个妓女。
Yeah, just like Arjuna asked Krishna, what is it that forces us to do what we know we shouldn't do?
正如 Arjuna 对 Krishna 问的那个问题一样，到底是什么力量驱使着我们去做那些我们本来就不想做的，不应该做的事情呢？
Yeah, Krishna says it's lust, it burns like fire, it's never, never satiated.
而 Krishna 就回答到，那就是色欲，那就是像烈火燃烧一般的色欲，永远不无法被满足的色欲。
Yeah, so pure bhakti, the first thing when one is actually engaged in pure bhakti, the first thing one will begin to experience is a relief from this inner dissatisfaction.
因此当一个人开始纯粹的 Bhakti 的时候，那么他所体验到的第一件事，那就是从这种内在的不满足不满意的痛苦当中缓解出来。
And then the other leaf that, you know, soon unfolds after that leaf is what's called Subhada or auspiciousness.
Subhada, 而这个很快的会展开的第二片小叶子就被称为 Subhada, 也就是吉祥人生、吉祥生活的意思。
Yeah, so we give up sinful activities.
因此我们放弃罪恶活动。
Because...The lust in our heart is now being relieved.
因为我们放弃罪恶的活动，因为我们内心的色欲被减弱了。
And then we engage in devotional service.
然后我们就开始进行奉爱服务。
Specifically chanting the holy names.
特别是去念诵圣名。
Right, so we follow the four regulative principles.
因此我们会去遵循四项规范原则。
And then we engage in devotional service.
然后我们就进行奉爱服务。
Yes, so then our whole life, our actual actions in life become auspicious. They're good for us and good for others.
而后我们在人生当中所进行的实际的活动，那就真的是很吉祥的了。那就是说，不仅对我们自己有益，并且对别人、对所有人都是有益的。
Yeah, so then we're not only are we not creating any more bad karma, but the actions that we perform have a beneficial effect for everyone, all living beings.
因此我们所做出的事情、所进行的活动和行动，那么就也就不再去创造出更多的恶报、糟糕的业报，反而的话呢，却是对众生、对所有的生命都是带来利益的。
Right, we think about the welfare for others.
我们会去考虑他人的福祉。
Our words are also kind and beneficial.
并且我们说出的话语也会是很仁慈，会很有益的。
The chanting of the holy name purifies us and all living beings that are around us, even the whole universe.
而念诵圣名的话，不仅能净化我们自己，并且能净化我们身边的环境，甚至是整个宇宙。
Sorry, that was very close. Was that a helicopter?
Airplane, I think. Sorry.
Very close. That sounded very low.
Yeah, so strange.
Must be a tourist helicopter.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so our actions become very good for ourselves and good for others.
因此此时我们所做出的行动，那么不仅对自己有益，并且对所有人都是有益的。
Because we're learning to master our mind and senses.
因为我们在学着去成为我们心意和感官的主人。
Right, so when we think, When we speak, we practice think.
When we speak, we practice...
Think.
Think.
Yeah, think. Think is an acronym.
I remember. You mentioned it before. now I understand.
所以说当我们在说话的时候，我们就需要去学会去练习这样的几个原则，这几个原则是Guru之前讲课的时候讲到过的，他的那个取的首字母的缩写词就叫做思考，但他不是指思考哈，我们来听一下是些什么。
Yeah, so as we awaken spiritually, we become the master of our mind and senses.
随着我们在灵性上觉醒，我们就逐渐成为心意和感官的主人。
So that means we monitor our thoughts.
而这就意味着我们能得以去观察、监控我们的念头。
And we monitor our speech.
并且能观察和监控我们的言语、措辞。
And then we can monitor our actions.
然后我们也就能得以去观察和观察我们的行动、行为。
So when it comes to our words, I like this acronym of think.
因此当说到言语措辞的时候，我就会喜欢去实行这样的一种叫做 think 的一种原则。
I also remember my mother.
并且我还会回忆起我的母亲。
She used to tell me, unless you have something good to say, don't say it.
我母亲我妈妈曾经对我说，除非你嘴巴里想说出来的是好话，否则你就别开口说话。
Anyway, think means, you know, before you say it, consider, is it true?
所以说我们刚才谈到的这个 think 的这个原则的话，那就是第一个，那就是当你开口说话的时候，你说出的话是真实的吗？
Yeah, sometimes we just mindlessly repeat something that we've heard from somebody else.
因为有些时候我们可能说出来的话就只不过是完全没有动脑子的去重复鹦鹉学舌，去重复别人说出来的话而已，而都完全没有去思考过，就是别人说的是不是真的。
Yeah, some rumor or some gossip.
比如说一些八卦呀，或者是一些谣言呐。
Yeah. Or we just don't consider the source.
或者是我们在说话的时候完全没有去考虑过这种话的这个源头是什么，来源于哪儿。
Yeah, so is it our speculation or is it really true?
这个话到底是我们自己的心理猜测呢，还是说是真正的事实？
So that's T.
所以说这个刚才说的是不是真实的，那就是代表这个 think 的首字母，第一个字母就是 T。
Then H is we have to consider, is it helpful? Is this really something that is helpful if I say this?
然后而这个 think 的第二个字母 H 开头的话指的就是有没有帮助，那么你就要去考虑一下你想说的话对别人是不是有帮助有助益的。
And then I is it inspirational or encouraging.
然后接下来的字母 I 代表的就是你说的话是不是能够去鼓舞别人的，是不是能够给别人带来灵感，带来这种鼓舞的。
Yeah, so it's not only what we say, it's how we say it sometimes.
因此有些时候我们说出的话重要的并不是在于我们说话的内容，而重要的是我们说话的方式。
Yeah, what's the motivation behind the words?
在你说出一些话语的动机是什么？
And then N, you have T-H-I and then next is N. And N, is it necessary?
然后的话呢，在这个字母 I 过后，就是这个字母 N 了，而 N 代表的就是到底是不是有必要的，你说的话有没有必要。
How many times are we just blabbering away? It's not really necessary.
有多少次我们完全就是在说话，但是说的这些话都是毫无必要性的。
We call it diarrhea of the mouth.
可是我这个可以把它这种就是叫做什么，叫做你嘴巴得了痢疾，嘴巴相当于是拉肚子一样的，就完全控制不住的倾泻而出。
And then we finally come to K.
然后我们就到最后一个字母 K 了。
T-H-I-N-K.
T-H-I-N-K.
So K stands for kind, kindness. Is it kind?
而 K 代表的就是仁慈善良的意思，那么你说的话是不是很善良的呢？
So just consider if you follow this acronym, how auspicious your speech will be for yourself and for others.
所以说考虑一下，如果我们能真正的遵循这刚才谈到的五个原则的话来说话，那么我们的言语措辞该是多么的吉祥，不仅对自己有益，并且对所有人都是有益的。
So when we first enter into devotional service, even in the elementary stages, if one is actually engaged in pure devotional service, One will become gradually free from distress or suffering, and one's life becomes very auspicious.
因此当一个人开始纯粹的奉爱服务的时候，那么即便他还是处于这个初级阶段，但是他的纯粹的奉爱服务都会使得他立刻从痛苦当中解脱出来，并且他的人生还会变得吉祥起来。
Now the other aspects of pure bhakti, they develop at the higher stages of bhakti.
而关于 bhakti 的另一个方面是在 bhakti 的高级阶段被发展出来的。
Number three is one experiences transcendental pleasure.
So Guruji, the first one is a relief from suffering, the second is auspicious life, and now is number three, right?
Yes.
And the number three is what?
Transcendental pleasure.
所以我们刚才已经谈到了纯粹奉爱服务的两个方面了，一个就是从痛苦中解脱出来，一个就是吉祥的人生，而现在第三个方面则是超然的愉悦，超然的快乐。
Right, or it's like ruchi, taste for the holy name.
或者叫做 ruchi, 也就是指对圣名的品味就出来了。
And four is that pure devotional service is rarely achieved.
而第四个方面则是纯粹的奉爱服务是很少很少，是非常非常稀有的，几乎就是很稀有，几乎没有被人给得到过的。
See, so even though we may not be pure devotees, because we're following a pure devotee, we can engage in pure devotional service.
因此即便我们不是纯粹的奉献者，我们没有在即便我们不是纯粹的奉献者，但是我们在追随一位纯粹的奉献者，因此我们所进行的奉爱服务那就是纯粹的奉爱服务。
Yeah, so even from the very beginning, if you chant Hare Krishna,
因此即便是从最开始我们开始去念诵Hare Krishna 曼陀，
You're actually present in hearing the holy name.
并且你是真正的是听到圣名，你是在为圣名而临在。
Because in order to hear the name, you have to be here.
因为要想听到圣名的话，你就必须得在这儿。
You can't be somewhere else.
你是不可能心猿意马的去想着别的事情，待在别的地方能够来听到圣名的。
Yeah, so suffering arises when we're lamenting the past or worrying about the future.
而当我们在悲伤过去和焦虑未来的时候，痛苦受苦就出现了。
Yeah, so in the beginning, if we're asking for the holy name, automatically we start to feel happy.
因此在最开始，即便是最开始，我们能够为圣名而临在的来念诵，那么自然而然的我们就会感到快乐。
Right, we're following the order of the spiritual master, so we're following the four regulated principles, so we're not engaged in sinful activities.
我们在遵循灵性导师的训谕，也就是四项规范原则，然后就不再去从事罪恶活动了。
So our life's very auspicious. Not only at present is our life good and beneficial, but the future results are also very good.
因此我们的人生就会变得非常的吉祥，那么这意味着我们目前的现在的生活不仅是很好的，不仅是有益的，那么并且我们未来的生活，未来的结果也会是很好很有益的。
And so the other aspects, you know, experiencing transcendental pleasure and rarely achieving pure bhakti, these come later.
因此关于纯粹奉爱服务的其他方面，比如说刚才提到的超然的喜悦、超然的快乐和这个纯粹的奉爱服务是很少很稀有的能够被获得的，那么都是会在未来以后才会来临的。
And the fifth aspect of pure bhakti is that at a certain point in the bhakti process, one doesn't even care about liberation anymore.
而关于纯粹奉爱服务的第五个方面，那就是在整个这个过程当中的某一点的时候， 人已经不再去在意他是不是会得到解脱了。
Yeah, it doesn't seem very important.
就对他来说，好像解脱都已经不怎么重要了。
Right, you know, if you're in jail, all you can think about is escaping.
对吧？如果你是身处监狱大牢，你肯定能唯一脑海里想着的就是赶紧怎么逃离这个监狱，怎么逃狱，然后怎么离开。
Yeah, so our jail is the mind we have. Not even the body, it's the mind. We're locked in our mind.
嗯，而我们所身处的监狱大牢不是说这个物质世界，而是我们的这个心意，甚至都不是在说我们的这个身体，而是我们的心意，我们完全被锁在自己的心意里面了。
But once you're out of jail, it doesn't seem like a big deal anymore, escaping.
嗯，而一旦当你离开这个监狱的时候，这个逃狱、逃离对你来说看起来好像也不是那么很重要的一回事儿了。
And then number six.The sixth aspect of pure devotional service is it is the only way to attract Krishna.
嗯嗯，而关于纯粹的 bhakti, 纯粹的奉爱服务的第六个方面，那就是这是吸引 Krishna 的唯一的方式方法。
It's actually stronger than Krishna.
The pure bhakti?
Yes.
嗯，哦，stronger than Krishna. 嗯，纯粹的奉爱服务甚至比 Krishna 还要更强大。
Right, Krishna, he cannot resist Radharani. He'll do whatever she wants.
Krishna 是没有办法能够抗拒 Radharani 的，然后 Krishna 会尽自己一切的努力，尽所有的可能性，然后来取悦 Radharani.
So when we're, you know, want to serve Krishna purely, Krishna cannot resist that. Then he reveals himself.
嗯，因此当一个人能够纯粹的去服务 Krishna 的时候，那么 Krishna 是没办法抗拒得了这样的纯粹的爱的，因此他就不得不去向这个人揭示他自己。
So, number one, pure bhakti relieves one of all material distress.
嗯，因此纯粹的 bhakti 的第一个方面，那就是使得一个人从所有的这个物质痛苦中解脱出来。
Two, it's the beginning of auspicious life, asubha.
嗯，而第二个方面就是
subhada, not asubha.
嗯 ，subhada. 嗯， yeah. 而第二个方面那就是吉祥人生的开启，也就是 subhada.
Then one gradually experiences transcendental pleasure.
然后第三个方面，一个人渐渐的开始体验到超然的喜乐。
Such pure bhakti is rare; it's rarely achieved.
然后一个方面，那就是纯粹的 bhakti 是很稀有的，很少能够被人给实现、给获得的。
It's beyond liberation.
嗯，哦、，you mean in the other aspect?
Yeah, five. It's beyond、oh. pure bhakti is beyond liberation.
嗯，然后第五个方面就是纯粹的 bhakti 是超越了解脱的。
And it's the only way to please Krishna. It's the only way to attract Krishna.
并且纯粹的 bhakti 是唯一一个能吸引 Krishna 的方式，唯一一个能够吸引 Krishna， 能够让 Krishna 无法抗拒的方式。
So pure bhakti really it's beyond pious and impious in the material sense. It's transcendental.
嗯。而纯粹的 bhakti 可以说是超越了这种物质意义上的虔诚活动和非虔诚活动，它可以说就是超然的。
So the Amadutas, they want to know what, you know, who is really in charge and who is the ultimate judge?
因此 Yamaduta 真的想知道到底谁才是处于这个负责的位置，谁才是至尊的法官。
And so really, they're asking Yamaraj directly, if the Yamadutas, if the Vishnudutas could prevent us from taking Ajamil to hell, that means there must be a judge superior to you, Yamaraj.
嗯，因此 Yamaduta 们就在直接的去询问 Yamaraj， 询问阎罗王，就是说既然有人能够阻挡他们把阿加米勒带到地狱去，那就意味着还有一个至高的 法官至高的权威是高于阎罗王的。
So I'll stop speaking here and I'll open it up for any questions or comments.
所以说现在正课讲完了，大家就可以开始提问或者是分享了。
Okay, so Guru Maharaj, this Harivansa Prabhu, I guess, maybe Mataji, I think this Harivansa devotee is saying that the pure bhakti is liberating.Is the beginning of auspicious life, and it's rare, and it's beyond liberation, and it's the only way to attract Krishna.
所以这位来自南昌的 Harivansa 奉献者就是说，纯粹奉爱是解脱的，吉祥人生的开始，稀有的超越解脱，唯一吸引 Krishna 的方式。
Guma, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a statement, right?
Yes, a statement.
Yeah, yes, correct. Harivamsa. I do know Harivamsa in Xi'an.
Sure.
And that's Harivamsa. He's the husband of Govinda Nandini.
Maybe he is.
对 ，Guru 就说刚才 Harivansa Prabhu 所说的是总结得很好。然后 Guru 说他确实知道认识一位来自西安的 Harivansa Prabhu， 然后是 Govinda Nandini Mataji 的丈夫。
And so you know, we attain pure devotional service through the mercy of Krishna that comes through the pure devotees.
而我们能够获得纯粹的奉爱服务，那是通过纯粹的奉献者的仁慈才能够得以获得纯粹奉爱服务的。
So in the beginning, we don't have pure devotion for Krishna.
在最开始的时候，我们对于 Krishna 是没有这个纯粹的奉爱之情的。
But we're following the order of our spiritual master, which pleases Krishna.
但是我们在遵循灵性导师的训谕，而这就会取悦 Krishna。
And so we can engage in pure devotion. Our motivation is to please Krishna.
因此我们才能得以去进行纯粹的奉爱服务。我们的动机那就是想要去取悦 Krishna。
Yeah, and so if we follow the four regulated principles and chant 16 rounds, even though we're not perfect, we can please Krishna because we're following the order of the spiritual master.
因此如果我们能够遵循四项规范原则，并且每天念诵十六圈，那么即便我们并不完美，但是我们依然能够取悦 Krishna， 因为我们是在遵循灵性导师的训谕。
Yeah, so the first thing is we'll start to, our suffering will be relieved.
因此第一件发生的事情呢，就是我们的痛苦就会减弱。
And our life becomes auspicious, it becomes good for ourselves and good for others.
我们的人生变得吉祥起来，不仅对自己有好处，并且对别人也是有好处、有益处的。
So that's rarely achieved to even have this opportunity. It's very rare.
但是这样的纯粹的奉爱服务是很稀有的，是很少能够被获得的。因为但即便一个人有这样的机会
，And we're already liberated, really.
并且我们已经都解脱了，对吧？
And it's very pleasing to Krishna. It's the only thing that really attracts him.
并且纯粹的奉爱服务是非常取悦 Krishna 的，这是唯一能够吸引 Krishna 的注意力的方式。
Because he already has everything. He is everything.
因为 Krishna 已经拥有了一切了，他 Krishna 本身就是一切。
But he's given us free will.
但是他却给予了我们每个人自由意志。
Which is a very powerful thing.
而自由意志是一个非常强大的东西。
So, Krishna, in that sense, doesn't have us.
因此就自由意志来说 ，Krishna 是并没有拥有我们的。
We can choose him or not.
我们可以做出选择是要 Krishna 还是不要他。
Yeah, so when we choose him, he's attracted to that.
因此当我们选择 Krishna 的时候他就会被我们所做出的这种选择所吸引。
Yeah, he can't resist it.
他就没办法抗拒得了我们的选择。
Just like if somebody loves us unconditionally, we can't resist it.
那么就像如果有一个人是完全无条件的爱着我们一样，我们能去抗拒这样的一个人吗？
Yeah, so it's not that, actually, as soon as we, by the mercy of the spiritual master, engage in devotional service, we're in contact with actually all of these six aspects of pure bhakti.
Oh, we are already in contact with all the six aspects of pure bhakti.
Yeah.
Oh, 而一旦我们经由灵性导师的仁慈，经由纯粹奉献者的仁慈而得以开始去做奉爱服务，实际上我们已经接触到了纯粹的 bhakti 的这六个方面了。
Right, the tree and the fruit's already there within the seed.
因为树，这个大树和树的果实本身已经包含在种子里面了。
Yeah, but once the seed sprouts, first is the sprout and the two leaves, you know, freedom from suffering and auspicious life. And then gradually, as the plant grows, the plant will bear fruit.
因为当这个小树苗发芽的时候，那么最开始它的那个两片小叶子，我们刚才已经谈到，那就是从痛苦的当中解脱出来，并且吉祥的人生，然后随着这个树苗的生长，最后就长成大树，结出果实。
Okay, anything else?
Let me see.我们来看下一个问题。Sumuki Radha Mataji 问的问题，感恩 Guru 的精彩讲课和 Mataji 甜美的翻译。请问，纯粹的奉爱服务既然是无法通过自己的努力获得的，那么我们为什么还要那么努力的做好 Sadhana 修习呢？ So Sumuki Radha Mataji is asking you that since the pure bhakti cannot be obtained through one's own effort, then why do we still need to strive hard to do good sadhana?
Well, because we can't receive the seed of pure bhakti on our own effort, but once we receive it, then we have to take care of it and cultivate.
Take care of it and cultivate. 我们确实是没有办法通过自己的努力来获得这个纯粹的奉爱服务的种子，纯粹的奉爱服务。但是一旦当我们得到纯粹的奉爱服务，就必须付出努力来照顾好，来照顾好这个奉爱服务。
Yeah, so we always have free will, and we have to exercise our free will properly. We have to choose Krishna.
我们都有自由意志，而我们需要去学会恰当的运用自由意志，得以一直选择 Krishna。
Yes, so we have to become good gardeners of the plant of bhakti.
这就意味着我们必须要成为自己内心奉爱小树苗的好的园丁。
Yeah, so the soil is our heart full of gratitude and humility.
而这个树苗成长的土壤，那就是我们的内心是否充满了A heart of gratitude and
humility.
而这个树苗能否得以健康成长的土壤，就要看我们的心灵是不是充满了谦卑和感恩。
And so we get the seed of bhakti from a pure devotee, and we put that seed in the soil of humility and gratitude.
我们从纯粹的奉献者那里得到奉爱服务的种子，然后我们把这个种子就种在我们内心这个充满了感恩和谦卑的心灵的土壤里。
And every day we have to go to the garden.
而每天我们就必须要去到花园。
And pour water on it.
然后给种子浇水。
On the seed.
一定要浇在种子上。
We have to do that.
我们自己必须要做到这一点。
And the water is the holy name.
而我们浇出来的水那就是圣名了。
And Lord Chaitanya has told us that we have to make sure that the water goes on the seed and not somewhere else.
而主 Chaitanya 曾经也教导我们，我们一定要确保这个浇出来的水，也就是圣名，是真正的浇在了种子上，而不是浇在了别的地方，别的东西上。
Then the seed will grow.
然后这个种子才能发芽成长。
Yeah, so if we're chanting and we're somewhere else,means thinking about the past or the future, then the water is not going on the seed.
因此如果我们在念诵的时候却是脑子里想着过去或者想着未来，那么这个念诵的这个水就没有浇在种子上。
So we have to be there as we chant. We have to be conscientious. And we have to choose to do that.
因此我们就必须要在念诵的时候为念诵为圣名而临在，我们就必须要做出选择来让自己为圣名而临在。
So love means choice. You're choosing to love that person. You're choosing to be there for that person.
而爱就意味着选择，爱意味着你如果爱一个人的话，你就会选择要去照顾他，要去和他在一起，要去要去对要去爱他。
And so Prabhupada has said in a few places that this kind of chanting is recorded and counted.
Prabhupada 在好几个地方都说过这样的话，我们所做出的念诵都被记录了下来。
And then we have to pull out the weeds of material desire that grow up around the plant.
然后我们还需要拔除掉长在种子附近的物质欲望的杂草。
Yeah, so already our life is becoming free of suffering and auspicious at this point.
到这一刻的时候，我们的人生已经从痛苦当中解脱了出来，并且已经开始非常吉祥了。
But sadhana is just us exercising our free will to serve Krishna.
而我们所做出的 sadhana来服务 Krishna.
And so it's not something we have to do, but it's something we can choose to do.
因此 sadhana 不是我们必须被迫要去做的事儿，而是我们做出选择去做的事情。
Right, we can always choose not to do it.
我们总是可以做出选择，不想让自己去做 sadhana, 不去做 sadhana 的。
And every time we choose to do it, we're saying to Guru and Krishna, I love you.
而每次当我们做出选择来去做 sadhana 的时候，我们就是在对 Guru 和在对 Krishna 说，我很爱你。
Right? It's a demonstration of our love. It's an act of love.
而 sadhana 就是我们的爱的展示， sadhana 就是我们的爱的行动。
And if we do that,you know, if we continue to hear and to chant and to follow and to let go of material desires, then the plant of bhakti will grow and bear fruit. But it's up to us. It's our choice.
那么而只要我们持续的去聆听，持续的去念诵，持续的去遵循，持续的去放下我们的物质的欲望，那么这颗种子最后就会得以茁壮成长，结出果实，但是这必须是我们自己愿意做出选择来这样去做的。
So that choice has to be there, otherwise, how will we demonstrate our love?
因此这个选择必须得是在那儿的，否则的话，我们如何来展示自己的爱呢？
Thank you, Sumukhi.
感谢苏穆 K 妈妈姐的问题。OK, next one. 小小的仆人图图问的问题，顶拜亲爱的咕噜，纯粹奉爱服务是从解脱开始的，怎么理解解脱是没有对物质的依附了吗？ So, 图图妈妈姐 is asking you that the pure bhakti begins from liberation. How to understand liberation? Does it mean that we do not have material attachment?
Liberation means you start to understand you're not the mind and the body.
解脱就意味着你开始明白你不是你的心意，也不是你的身体。
you start to experience that you're something else.
你开始体验到你并不是你的心意和身体的另外一种体验。
Your pure consciousness.
那就是你是纯粹的知觉的存在。
And that you come from Krishna.
并且你体验到你是来自于 Krishna 的。
That you belong to Krishna.
你体验到你是属于 Krishna 的。
Yeah, so every time you choose to be present.
所以每次当你选择临在的时候。
You come out of the mind.
你就从心意当中走了出来。
You come out of your story.
就从你的人生故事当中走了出来。
And you experience yourself as pure awareness that's coming from Krishna.
你就会体验到你自己作为纯粹的知觉的存在是来自于 Krishna 的。
Even for a few moments.
即便只是几个片刻而已。
At that moment, you're awake. You see you're not the mind or the body, that you're something else.
那么在这些时刻你就会看到你是苏醒过来的，你并不是你的心意，并不是你的身体，而你是别的什么的存在。
And that's liberation.
而这就是解脱。
And if you say to Krishna, I belong to you, that's pure bhakti.
而如果此时你对 Krishna 说我属于你，那么这就是纯粹的 bhakti, 纯粹的奉爱了。
Yeah, so pure bhakti is serving Krishna in the awareness that you belong to Krishna, that you're his servant.
而纯粹的 bhakti 也意味着我们带着这样的一种态度来服务 Krishna. 我们的这种态度就是我属于 Krishna, 我是您的仆人的这种态度来服务 Krishna.
Yeah, and in the beginning, we get pure devotion by following a pure devotee.
因此在最开始的时候我们是通过追随一位纯粹的奉献者来开始纯粹的奉爱服务的。
So I am because God is. It's not just I am and finished.
所以说这是我是因为神是，而不是说我是然后这句子就完了，就再没下半句了。
Yeah, so if you're aware of I am because God is,Then you just want to say thank you. You already have everything.
因此如果你能觉知到我是因为神是，那么这个时候你就已经感到自己拥有了一切，你就会自然的想要对 Krishna 说谢谢你。
Yeah, you're not expecting anything more because you already have everything. Life is everything. Krishna's already given everything.
你此时就没有再去期望得到更多的东西了，然后因为生命就是一切， Krishna 就已经给到你生命，已经给到你一切了。
Yeah, so pure bhakti means we're serving Krishna from fullness, not from incompleteness.
因此纯粹的 bhakti, 纯粹的奉爱服务就意味着我们是出于完整的感受完整来服务 Krishna, 而不是出于感到自己不完整来服务 Krishna 的。
Om Purnama Ada Purnamidam Purna Purnam Purnashite Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishite. The absolute truth is whole and complete.
所以这一段梵文诗节是绝对真理，是完整的、完美的。
And everything that emanates.From the absolute truth is also whole and complete.
而所有来源于绝对真理的所有一切也是完整的、完全的、完美的。
Yeah, so the pure devotee already feels whole and complete.
因此纯粹的奉献者本来就已经感到是完整的、本来已经是感到完整的、完全的。
And therefore, he can serve.Without any personal motivation.
因此他就可以不带任何个人动机的来服务 Krishna.
Thank you, Tutu.
谢谢 Tutu Mataji 的问题。OK, next one. Hari Vansa 南昌的这位塔布问的问题，可是为什么感觉相差纯粹奉爱服务是那么遥远？是不是有可能经历好几世？如果尽力在这一世达到完美，是不是就有点过于勉强？只是 想象自己知觉提升，没有真实觉悟，提升自己的知觉，或称为觉悟了呢？So Harvey Wansapapu is asking that why do I still feel that I'm so far away from the pure devotional service? Is it possible that I have to experience several lifetimes to reach pure bhakti? Or if I try my best to achieve perfection in this lifetime, is it actually a little bit too forcing myself? It's basically just imagining that I have elevated consciousness, but actually not elevating my consciousness or having achieved realization or enlightenment.
Yeah, we have, you know, when we're identified with our mind and our body.
当我们认同于自己的心意和身体时。
We have many beliefs and ideas and concepts about liberation, about pure bhakti.
当我们认同于自己的心意和身体时，我们就对于解脱，对于纯粹的 bhakti， 抱有许许多多不同的固有的观念、念头、想法等等。
And pretty much day and night, we live in our mind. We're daydreaming.
而基本上我们是时时刻刻日以继夜的都是活在自己的心意当中的。
Yeah, so as long as we're identified with our thoughts, we can't experience the truth of who we are.
而只要我们还认同于脑海里的念头，那么我们就没有办法能够真正的去体验到自己是谁的真相。
And so we're expecting to discover who we are in the future.
因此我们就期盼着能够在未来去觉悟到我是谁的真相。
And that keeps us seeking.
而希望使得我们一直在寻求，一直在寻找。
Which keeps us in the mind.
而这种一直在寻求的状态就使得我们一直活在心意之中。
Of course, the mind and the body can't work without us.
But mind and the body cannot work without us. 当然如果没有我们的话，那么我们的心意和身体是没办法运作的。
The mind and the body only exist because of the presence of the pure soul of consciousness.
而只有有这个纯粹的知觉，只有灵魂的存在，才使得这个身体和心意得以存在。
So pure devotional service isn't far away.
因此，纯粹的奉爱服务并不遥远。
As soon as we follow a pure devotee, we're already engaged.
一旦当我们开始追随一位纯粹的奉献者，我们就已经开启了纯粹的奉爱服务了。
And the first thing we learn is just to hear and chant, to sit there and chant and hear.
而我们所学到的第一件事儿，那都是坐在那儿，然后去念诵，去聆听。
So all bona fide spiritual practices begin by teaching the student to become present.
而所有正宗的灵性修习，只要是正宗的灵性修习，其初始阶段都是在教导自己的学生要学会去临在。
To bring consciousness to the present moment.
而临在的意思就是指学会把自己的知觉带到当下此刻。
That's what it means to hear the holy name. You have to be here in the present to hear and to know that you're hearing.
而这就是聆听圣名的意思，那就意味着当我们在念诵圣名的时候，我们必须得身处这里，而不是心猿意马的想着别的东西，然后身处在别的地方。只有真正在这里，知觉在这里的时候，才能真正的听到圣名。
And then you will discover that you're a pure spirit soul.
然后你就能得以发现你是纯粹的灵性的存在了。
You'll start to see, oh, I'm not the mind or the body, I'm just the pure consciousness.
你就会真正开始看到你不是心意，也不是你的身体，而你是纯粹的知觉的存在。
So, you don't become a pure spirit soul, you already are one.
所以因此你不是去成为一个纯粹的灵性，纯粹的灵性，纯粹的灵魂的，而你本来就已经是纯粹的灵魂。
But you will only experience it in the present.
但是你却只能在当下此刻，在这个时刻才能体验到你是纯粹的灵魂的存在。
It's not that difficult.
因此它并不是那么困难。
You simply have to know the way.
你只需要知道这个方式方法就可以了。
And then, other levels of pure bhakti will arise from that.
而后所有 bhakti 的其他的层，其他的层面，其他的阶段都会由此而出现，都会基于这样的，都会基于这样的一个，基于我们的临在，基于我们的这样一种状态，感受到自己是纯粹纯粹灵魂的存在，基于这样的一个状态而得以出现。
Yeah, so the most important step we can take in the beginning is to disidentify with our mind.
因此我们在初始阶段能做出的最重大的一步，最重大的一点，那就是我们不再去认同于自己的心意。
And to live in the truth and to leave the illusion.
也就是活在真相之中，而不是活在幻觉之中。
Yeah, so until we learn that step, we won't make much advancement. We'll remain lost in the mind and feel like things are far away, when really they're not.
因此除非我们做出这样的一步，否则的话我们还是依然会迷失在心理之中，依然会觉得奉爱服务是很遥远的事，但实际上并非如此。
So learn to be present.
因此请你学会去学会临在。
And learn to release and let go of whatever's keeping you from being present, and then chant.
并且学会去放手，去释放那些阻碍你临在的事物，那么由此你就由此来念诵。
And then very soon, very quickly, you'll see you're not the mind and the body, and you'll feel inner peace and satisfaction.
那么很快的你就能够开始感受到你不是你的身体，不是你的心意，而你就能感受到内在的满足和平和。
But being present is very precise. You're either here or you're not.
而临在是非常确切的，你要不然就是在这儿，要不然你就不是在这儿。
And at first, the false ego will, protest. So there are certain obstacles we have to deal with in the beginning.
但是最开始的时候，我们的假我是会抗拒我们临在的这个意图，临在的这种行为的。因此在最开始的时候是有某一些的障碍是我们必须要去克服的。
Otherwise, it's true. It's possible, to.Be following this path, but just on the mental level, you know, for lifetimes.
而否则的话，这种完全是在心理层面上来遵循、来追随这条道路，甚至是生生世世、好几生世，都是在心理层面上来追随这条道路的话，还是有可能的。
Yeah, it all depends on how.This teaching is presented and applied.
All depends on how this teaching is presented to you and how you apply it.
Yeah, how you're taught to apply it.
因此这一切都取决于你得到了怎样的这门教导是怎样展现给你的，你是以怎样的方式来运用这门教导的。
Okay.
Okay. I think that's the last question.
All right. Well, thank you, Harivamsa, Tutu, and Samuki Radha.
这就感谢 Harivamsa 爬布的问题，感谢 Tutu Mataji 还有 Samuki Mataji 的问题。
I'm so happy to be back to the live broadcast. It's so much more fun.
我真高兴能够再次的开始直播，然后因为直播实在是好玩的多。
Thank you, Narayani, and thank you, Samuki Radha. We'll see you next week.
所以说感谢松木品 Mataji。Oh, Guruji, there's one more question. You want to answer this one more question?
Okay.
Oh, another one coming.
Oh, there's two more coming?
Yeah.
Okay.
好，我们来看接下来的这两个问题。这个叫 Ishwari Mataji 问的问题，尊敬的老师顶拜您，怎样理解我们完整？我们基于完整来服务 Krishna 的，一直都以为我是不完整的，才去寻找整体，去寻找 Krishna。有了机会去服务，才有完整的感觉，才有了满足感。我要怎样去理解呢？So this Mataji is asking that how to understand that we serve Krishna out of completeness. I always think that we are incomplete, so we try to find the complete to find Krishna. And we have opportunities to serve, and then I will have the feeling of completeness. Then I will have the feeling of satisfaction. Then how to understand that?
Well, in reality, we're always connected with Krishna and we're never incomplete.
从现实来看，我们总是与 Krishna 相连接的。那么，我们在与 Krishna 相连接的过程中，我们就是完整的。
And as long as we feel incomplete, then we're looking for someone or something to fulfill our incompleteness. So that's not pure. It's not pure love. It's serving with some expectation. It's not pure bhakti.
而一旦当我们感到不完整，我们于是就会去寻找某个人或者某个东西来填补我们内在的这种欠缺感，从而好让自己感到完整。那么这个时候，这就并不是纯粹的爱，并不是纯粹的 bhakti 了，因为我们是期望通过去做一个什么样的事情或者得到一个什么样的东西，从而来让自己感到完整的。那这就是个人的动机，这就不纯粹了。
It's bhakti on the mental level.
这就是处于心理层面的 bhakti, 处于心理层面的奉爱服务。
We're still imagining that we exist separate from Krishna. We're imagining on this mind and body.
这就意味着我们还依然想象着自己是独立于 Krishna 而单独存在的，我们依然还去认同于自己的心意。
So really, there's one verse in Bhagavad Gita that answers your question.
实际上《博迦梵歌》当中有个诗节就回答到了你的问题。
So you can contemplate this verse and the purport.
因此你可以来事后来沉思并且沉思这个诗节和它的要旨。
Look at chapter 18, text 54.
我们来一起看一下第18章的54诗节。
Brahma Bhuta Prasanatman Associati Nakankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. When one is thus transcendentally situated, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything.He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me.
18.54 处在这等超然境界的人，立即能觉悟到至尊凡，变得全然喜乐。他绝不会哀伤，也不会欲求什么。对每一个生命，他都一视同仁。在这种状态下，他达到为我做纯粹奉爱服务的境界。
So it doesn't mean that you become Brahman realized and merged into the Brahman.
而这并不是意味着你就融入到了梵光当中。
It just simply means you discover the truth of who you are.
而这只是意味着你发现到关于自我的真相，关于你是谁，我是谁的真相。
Right, you're a pure being of consciousness that comes from Krishna.
你是知觉的纯粹存在，而你是来源于 Krishna 的纯粹的知觉。
Right, you're like the sun ray that's coming from the sun. They're never separate.
你就像是太阳的光线一样，你来自于太阳，而太阳光线和太阳是永不分离的，因此你也和 Krishna 是永不分离的。
And you can discover that in the present moment.
而你是可以在当下此刻能够发现这样的真相的，就在当下此刻，这一切就可以向你揭示开来。
You just have to come out of your mind for a few moments.
而这就意味着你需要先从自己的心意当中走出来才行。
And immediately you'll feel joyful.
那么当你从心意当中走了出来之后，那么即便是几个片刻，你都会立刻感到快乐。
Yeah, you'll feel complete.
你就会感到完整。
And then you don't desire, anything, and you don't lament anything.
而后你就不会想要去渴求去得到什么，或者是悲伤过去的什么。
And in that consciousness, you can engage in pure bhakti.
那么当你有这样的纯粹知觉的时候，你就能进行纯粹的奉爱服务了。
Yeah, we engage in devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master while we're still identified with our mind and our body.
While we still identify, huh?
Mm-hmm.
因此我们根据灵性，我们基于灵性导师指导来从事奉爱服务，而同时我们还在认同于自己的心意，认同自己这具躯体。
But if we actually practice bhakti as it's prescribed, we begin in the present.
Begin in the present. 而如果我们真正的是按照 bhakti 被教导给我们的这种方式来休息的话，那么我们就是从当下此刻开始的。
We give up our identification with our false self, and we assume the identity of our true self, which is servant of Krishna.
我们放弃了虚假的自我，放弃了对虚假自我的认同，转而开始真正的自己真正的身份，那就是 Krishna 的仆人的这个真正的身份。
Well, our true self is already complete.
而我们真正的自我本身就是完整的。
It's the false self that feels incomplete.
而只有虚假的自我才会感到自己是不完整的。
So it's a gradual process.
因此这是一个逐渐的过程。
So we do have to leave the mind.
这就意味着我们必须得离开自己的心意才行。
We have to leave the dream.
必须要离开自己的梦境。
And we have to know how to do that.
并且我们要知道怎么样来去离开心意，离开梦境。
That's why we need teachers.
这就是为什么我们需要有老师的存在。
Otherwise, we could just read the book.
否则的话，如果都不需要老师的话，那干脆就只用看书就行了。
So that's the duty of the guru is to help the student understand they're not the mind and the body.
因此这就是 guru, 就是老师的职责，要帮助他们的学生来明白他们不是心意，不是身体。
Not intellectually, but practically.
不是这种理论知识上的理解，而是实际的体验。
Otherwise, superficially, we can go through the motions of devotional service, but remain identified with the false self.
Superficially, we go through motions of a devotional service?
Yeah.
Oh.
Our body is there doing the service, but we're in our mind and we're not present. We're somewhere else.
So doing the body is doing the service, but the mind is doing something else. Then okay, 否则的话，否则如果我们没有学会去从心意当中走出来，没有学会离开心意，离开梦境，那么我们所从事的奉爱服务就只不过是身体在做着奉爱服务，但是脑子完全是想着别的事情，在做着别的事情。那么此时的话，我们依然还是认同于虚假的自我。
Right, we're chanting. The body's chanting.
对吧？我们的身体在念诵。
But we're daydreaming about the past or the future.
但是脑子里却完全是在白日做梦，想着过去和未来。
So the water of the holy name isn't going on to the plant of bhakti, it's nourishing the weeds of our false ego.
因此圣名的水就没有浇在植物上，而是全部浇在了这些物质欲望的杂草上。
Yeah, so even after many years of practice, we still feel dissatisfied and we still have the same dysfunctional behavior.
因此在即便是休息了许多年之后，内在依然感到不满足，然后依然自己还展现出这种就是完全不恰当的不对的这种行为举止。
OK, so yeah, contemplate that verse, chapter 18, text 54.
所以说请你好好的沉思冥想一下十八章五十四诗节的译文和要旨。
Is that it?
There's more. Continue.
And how many more? One, two, three,
four, five, six.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, I'll answer one more and then I think we'll save the rest for next week.
OK, 其实我们再来回答一个问题，然后剩下的好些问题的话就只有请大家等到下个星期了。 OK, 我们来看这位奉献者问的这个数字，以数字作为名字的奉献者，顶拜咕噜，感谢翻译的服务，想知道处于居士阶段的奉献者如何在 Krishna 知觉中选择工作和处理财务方面的问题，是要尽量寻找偏善良形态的工作，避免与违背四项原则的工作吗？是不是满足于已有的不做投资理财的投机活动。So this devotee is asking you that he or she is wondering for Grihastha devotees, how can they choose jobs or careers in Krishna consciousness, how to deal with finance? Is it they should really try the best to choose those jobs or careers that are in the mode of goodness?And try to avoid jobs or careers that are against the four regulative principles. Does it also mean that should a devotee just be satisfied with the current financial activities, not going for more investments, more money-making activities?
Well, yeah.Yes, you know, I mean, we have the instruction of Rupa Goswami and the nectar of instruction is helpful.
我们从 Rupa Goswami, 从 nectar of instruction, 从奉爱的甘露,从教诲的甘露那本书里面就会了解这方面的训示。
Yeah, he talks about what's favorable for bhakti and what's not.
他就谈到了什么样的活动对于 Bhakti 是有益的，什么样的活动是无助于无益处的。
So in the second verse, he says, Ajahara, Prayashascha, Prajapo, Niyamagraha, Gyana Sangha, Chaloyamcha, Sadbir Bhakti, Pramishati. So he says, don't eat more than necessary.
所以在第二个事件里面 Rupa Goswami 就说到我们不需要去得到超过自己需求范围内的东西。
And that also means don't collect more funds than you need.
这就意味着我们不是去对这个叫做储蓄，叫做得到超过自己需求的更多的金钱。
Now, of course, you can interpret that in many ways.
当然我们可以以很多种方式来解读，来理解这个意思。
Well, I mean, you should make enough, you know, to maintain your family and also to retire in the future.
而这就意味着你要赚到足够的钱来维持你的家人、家庭，并且的话也要为未来的退休做好准备。
Right? Don't become a burden on others, on your family members or other devotees.
这就意味着我们不是去成为自己的家人或者是其他奉献者的负担。
And then he says you shouldn't over-endeavor for mundane things.
并且如果他不
especially if they're difficult to obtain.
并且 Rupa Goswami 也说到，我们不应该为这种世俗的事情付出过多的努力，特别是当这些世俗的事物是很难去实现、很难去做到的时候。
Right, so it doesn't mean that you don't try and get a good job or that you don't get a job that you like doing.
所以就并不意味着就是我们不去找到一份好工作，或者是不去找一份自己喜欢的工作，并不是这个意思。
But you know, you shouldn't maintain desire to be a rock and roll star your whole life.
shouldn't maintain such a desire, huh?
Yeah.
而这实际上是意味着我们不应该在自己的人生当中总是维系着这样的一种愿望，比如说想让自己当摇滚明星的愿望。
And then it says you shouldn't talk unnecessarily about mundane subjects, but at work sometimes you have to do that, you know.
然后 Rupa Goswami 就说到，我们不应该去谈论这些世俗的毫无意义的话题，但有些时候我们也不得不去。You were saying that we have to talk about mundane subjects.
Yeah, when you're at work.
但顾主就说，但是我们在工作场所当中，你是不得不去跟别人谈论这些世俗的话题，对吧
？Yeah, so everything in balance.
所以说，这就需要我们把所有的一切都做到一种平衡。
So it's you should find, if possible, you know, a kind of job that can pay the bills that you like doing.
Pay the bills and like, what's the beginning part? You should be.
You should find employment or a job. That will make sufficient income to support yourself and your family, and also that you enjoy doing if it's possible.
所以说你应该找到的工作或者职业是能够让你赚到足够的钱来维系你自己，并且维系你的家人，然后并且的话，如果可能的话，你也可以找一份自己喜欢的工作。
This is the Varnashram level.
这就是 Varnashram 社会四阶层、灵性四阶段的这个层面。
That's just your nature.
并且你所寻找的工作是符合你的本性、符合你的天性的。
But you know that shouldn't be your main objective in life. That's all. You're just doing what you need to do to survive.
但是的话，这并不是说就成为了你人生的目标，而你做一份工作，只是去让自己。You are saying that you do the job just to maintain yourself and survival, right?
Yeah.
而你做一份工作，只是为了让自己生存下来，维系自己。
Right, that just allows you to take care of your body so that you can perfect your life in devotion.
所以说一份工作允许你能够照顾好你的身体，从而使得你能够在 bhakti 当中达到完美。
Yeah, so ideally you want to find work that is not against the four principles.
因此在理想情况下，你所寻找到的工作是不会违背四项规范原则的。
Yeah, so, you know, be married, take care of your family, find work that you enjoy doing, but don't forget the goal of life.
因此结婚，照顾好家人，照顾好自己的身体，找到一份自己喜欢的工作，但是同时也不要忘了你人生的真正的目的。
You know, save your money, invest wisely, and plan for retirement.
存好钱，然后再把钱用有智慧的把钱用来做好投资，那么为自己的退休生活做好准备。
So just everything in moderation.
In moderation means in balance.
Yeah.
所以说所有的一切，我们就应该把自己人生当中所有的一切都做到一种平衡就好。
Okay, I run out of time myself.
不好意思，我自己的时间到了。
And I really thank you all for your questions.
非常感谢大家的问题呀。
And what questions we didn't get to today, we'll continue with next week.
所以说剩下的没有回答的问题，我们就下星期继续回答。
And thank you, Narayani, and thank you, Sumuki.
感谢 Sumuki Mataji.
And all glories to Prabhupada and all glories to the assembled devotees.
所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于齐聚一起的奉献者。
And I look forward to being with you next week.
我很期盼下个星期和大家的再次相会。
If there is a next week for me.
如果我下星期还活着的话。
You never know. Hare Krishna.
永远都不知道，对吧？ Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. 外昆塔之音，服务源于聆听。今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna, 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。